Today's Shir is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Dalet. We will begin with Daf Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from bottom Amar Yehuda. So we learned in our previous Shir, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, when the Mishnah speaks about Mava, what is the Nezek, what is the Avha Nezek that is being referred to? According to Rav, Shor includes all types of Shor, Keren, Shein, and Rego, and Mava is Shein. And as we learned, the Mishnah mentioned Shor, which is Keren, and the Mishnah mentioned Mava, which is Shein. And the Mishnah continued to say, Loi Harea Shor Karea Mava, Loi Harea Mava Karea Shor, that the characteristics of the Nezek of Keren and Shein are very different. And says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Tana Shor L'Karnai, according to Shmuel, when the Mishnah says Shor, it means Keren. When the Mishnah says Mava, it means Shein. Vach Kamar, and the Mishnah means to teach us the following, says Rav Yehuda. Loi Ria Keren Shein Hanol Azeka, when the Shor does damage with its Keren, it doesn't have any pleasure from doing so. Kari Shein, Sheyesh Hanol Azeka, where there's Hanol. And therefore, we cannot learn one of these Mazikim from the other Hazik. We wouldn't be able to learn Keren from Shein, because by Shein, the animal has Hanol. And maybe the fact that the animal has pleasure is the reason that he should be Chayiv. Whereas by Keren, as we just said, it doesn't have Hanor. Since it doesn't have Hanor, maybe it wouldn't be Chayiv. On the other hand, Keren, when the animal eats, it didn't mean to do any damage. And therefore, the Mishnah had to mention each one of these Ovis Nezikin separately. Ask the Gemara, V'lav Kavachoymer, but why can't we learn Keren with a Kavachoymer from Shein? Or Ma Shein Kavanos L'Hazik. If by Shein, where there is no intention to do damage, still, the animal, if it eats something, it's Chayiv, so certainly Keren, Shekavanos L'Hazik, where the animal had very deliberate intention to do damage, Lekoshkein, shouldn't it certainly be the Halacha that is Chayiv? Answers the Gemara, Itzrich. The Gemara is going to cite a precedent. The Gemara is going to cite a precedent where we see there was somebody had Kavanah Lahazik, and even though there was Kavanah Lahazik, still there is no Chiyuv. Kusaka dat chmina, mida the Havar Avir Oma. The Loch is that a Ever Kanani or Oma Kananis that do damage, the Loch is that and it was done deliberately. Ever the Amar Lav Afgav the Kavanos Lahazik. Even if they deliberately damaged, the Halacha is a filahachi patri. The Halacha is that the owner will not be held responsible. Hachnami loishna. So here too, we would say by Karen, even though the animal had deliberate intention to do damage, maybe it shouldn't. The animal had deliberate intention to do damage. Maybe it shouldn't be chayiv. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Ata ever amar lav tamar is rabbis behu. When we said that ever amar, you're not responsible if they do damage. It's not because the act of doing damage is lacking. There's a new consideration, says the Gemara. Shem yakatena rabbi. He may get in, the Amah may get into a dispute with their owner, and they're going to want to cause damage to their owner. So what they're going to do is, they'll put on fire the owner's friend's tefuah, and he can do this kind of damage on a regular basis and cause him significant loss. So the fact that there's a case that this kavanos lahasik and your potter doesn't really speak to the case of Shein. El Parach Chochi says the Gemara, this is the reason to ask. Loi Rikina, it's Kavanos Lahazik. Kari Shein Shein Kavanos Lahazik. We can't learn Shein from Karen. Karen doesn't intend to do damage. Shane, there isn't. V'leir Yishen, Shiesh Anol HaZekoy, Korea Karen, Shiesh Anol HaZekoy. It has nothing to do, it has, the fact that they have different characteristics is a reason that you should not be chayiv. In other words, the way to understand the Gemara, since the owner owns his Eved Kenani and Shifre Kenanis, technically, he should be held responsible for when they do damage. But the Gemara introduced a new consideration, and that's the consideration Shemiyak Netener Rabbi. But the question is, at the end of the day, we're learning this Masechta, and we've spoken about this concept from the beginning of the Masechta. The one is the what is one of the primary reasons one is chayiv when something that he owns does damage. So we've explained that one of the primary reasons is because it's your obligation. You as the owner of this property have the obligation to make sure it shouldn't do damage. So shouldn't that be the same by an Eved? That since you're the owner of this Eved Kenani and Yom Kenanis, Shivcha Kenanis, it's your responsibility that they shouldn't do damage. So why should you be exempt? So the Chazon Ish explains that of course one is responsible for everything that he owns. But sometimes it's just impossible. It's impossible to prevent an independent, intelligent human being from causing deliberate damage. So as much as one is obligated to make sure that what he owns doesn't do damage, that's only in circumstances where he has the ability to control. In the case where he doesn't have that ability, he can't be held responsible. The Netziv has a different explanation. As we just explained in the Gemara, what's driving this Eved Kenani to do damage? Because he wants to cause damage to his owner. So since it's obvious that we can't hold the owner responsible for his Eved Kenani's intentions, therefore he can't be held responsible for those damage. The Night of Yehuda says that if an Eved Kenani murders someone, he's responsible to pay the yorshim of the victim, just like when he has to pay when his animal kills someone. Says the Noida Behuda, that why is this different? We just learned in our Gemara, asked the Noida Behuda, that whenever Kanani does damage, the owner is not held responsible. Why here is he held responsible? So Noida Behuda says a very nice teretz. He says as much as an Eved Kenani, as we're learning in our Gemara, wants to cause anguish and damage to its owner, his owner, that's only when it won't affect him adversely. In a case where an Eved Kenani kills someone, so whether the owner will be held responsible financially or not, he's going to be put to death. So, yes, he wants to cause trouble for his owner, but he doesn't want to cause trouble for his owner at his expense. And this is a situation, says the Noida Behuda, where it's considered at the expense of the owner. And since it's considered at the expense of the owner, that's why we won't say that the Eved is going to do it to hurt the owner. And therefore, in such a case, says the Halacha, that he will have to pay kofer. So our Gemara just taught us what are our responsibilities and what are the Eved Kenanis and Shifre Kenanis responsibilities. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is what happens if somebody has someone who works in their home and as they're working in their home, they do damage. They break something. Will they be held responsible to pay for it or not? So the Masham says that they should be held responsible. And so too, the Chavos Yor has this tshuva. And he says, an Eved Kenani, a cleaning help at home, is like a Shomer Socher. And the halacha is, if a Shomer Socher didn't watch what they did, they will be held responsible. However, the Erech Shai has a different approach. The Erech Shai says that we have to be fair with our employees. And if we're going to take such a strong position, that if they do any damage, then the halacha is that we're going to be able to take that off their salary, then it's going to become impossible to get the workers. The Aruch HaShulchan also takes the following approach. He says that it depends if we could determine if they did it deliberately or not. If your worker deliberately did damage, so then they should be held responsible for what they did. But if they didn't do it deliberately, and as in the course of the work there was an accident and they caused damage, so then the halach is that we have to create normal working conditions. And since the halacha requires us to create normal working conditions, included in normal working conditions is understanding that these things are going to happen. Says the Gemara, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Shmuel, Shor is Keren and Mav is Shein. But as we've discussed extensively in our previous year, there's one more type of Shor HaMazik, and that's Regel. Says the Gemara, Regel Mai, Shaira, are we going to say that Regel was excluded from Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, when the Mishnah says at the end of the Mishnah, Kishahizik, Chav HaMazik, L'Shla Lume, Teshlume Nezek, that's L'Suya Regel. It's coming to teach us the Halacha of Regel. So ask the Gemara, the listener behedja. So just like Karen was mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah through the word Shor, and just like Shane was mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah according to Shmuel with the word Mava, so why isn't Regel mentioned explicitly? El Amarava, Tana Shor L'Ragloi, Shor is Regel, or Mava is Shinoi. Vach Kamer, and then, therefore the Mishnah is to be understood as follows. Hach Kamer, Loiri Regel, Shazeki Matsui, because animals, of course, walk. So it's common. Kriya Shein, Shein is Okimatsui. V'loya Reya Shein, Shesh Anol HaZekai, when the animal eats something. Kriya Regel, Shein Anol HaZekai. So now we've reinterpreted the Mishnah. Shor is Regel, Mav is Shein. But now ask the Gemara, so where is Karen in the Mishnah? V'Karen Mai? So where's Karen in the Mishnah? Again, the Gemara asked the same type of question. Are we going to suggest that Shire, the Mishnah, excluded it? Answers the Gemara, when the Mishnah said at the end of the Mishnah, as we just learned, Kishahizik Chava Mazik L'Suya Karen. It's there to teach us Karen. So asking one of the same question. For listening behedja, just like Shane is mentioned explicitly, and just like Regel is mentioned explicitly, according to Shmuel, why isn't Karen mentioned explicitly? Answers the Gemara, B'myadim et chalasa kamayri, B'tamil b'soyp myadim loy kamayri. As we've learned many times in our shiurim already, Karen, there's a concept of Tam Amud. And the first three times, many details that we're mitzvah Shem going to learn in Amasechta, but Karen, there's a concept of Tam, and the first three times the animal does damage in such a fashion, they won't be chai more than chatzi nezek. Whereas, when we speak about Shein, when we speak about Shein and Rego, there is no difference between Tam Amud. So now, we can have a good understanding of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is only focusing when it explicitly speaks about a mazik, when you're going to have to pay nezek shalom. But by Karen, where you don't pay nezek shalom automatically, you only pay nezek shalom once the animal becomes a muad. That's why it wasn't mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. The Shmuel asked the Gemara, "Meshmul my tamalim karaf." Just as we said before in the previous year, that the word mava for itself does not really point in one direction. It doesn't mean any more Shein or Adam HaMazik. So why doesn't Shmuel say that mava means Adam HaMazik and all the types of shor are included in shor? Amloch Isak Datech L'Adam, if we're going to say that our Mishnah, when it says mava, it means Adam, as the Mark Tani Sefer, shor Hamud in the Mishnah in Mitzvah Shemadaf Tezvav on base Shor Hamud v'Shor Hamazik b'Shus HaNizik v'Adam. So the Mishnah already mentions Adam. So it must be that our Mishnah is not listing Adam. Ask the Gemara v'Liski Bereisha. So why did the Mishnah wait? Why did the Tana wait till Daf Tezvav to teach us Adam HaMazik? It could have taught it in our Mishnah on that base. Answers the Gemara b'Niske Mamu Kamari b'Niske Lufa Kalamari. Our Mishnah only speaks about damage that's done by something that I own, not something that is me, myself. Says the Gemara,
Rav Nami Hoktani Adam B'Sefer, asked the Gemara, according to Rav, that defines Mave as Adam, so why would we need that the Mishnah on that base should mention Adam, and then the Mishnah on that Tezvav again should mention Adam? Says the Gemara, Amalach Rav Hahula Mechshu Behadum Adon Asa. There it's coming to teach us a new halacha. The halacha, which we're going to learn many times in our Masechta, is Adam Mu'ud La'ilam. A person is always considered a Mu'ud. And to teach us that halacha, that's the purpose of teaching us the Mishnah on Daf Tezvav. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah differentiated Lo'yarei Shor Kareya Mava. So according to Rav, the Mishnah is meaning to teach us that Shor HaMazik and Adam HaMazik are very different. What does that mean? My Lo'yarei. What was meant, asked the Gemara, with that statement? Says the Gemara, what was meant to teach us was as follows. Loi ri hashor shekem shalom sakaifer. If an animal attacked a person and he died, he has to pay kaifer. Kreya adam shem shalom kaifer. A person never pays kaifer. Because a person that kills another person has to pay, gets killed. And since the person gets killed, so there's a rule of kimle b'drabmanei, and since there's a rule of kimle b'drabmanei, he doesn't pay, he only gets killed for what he did. So of course, many mefarshim ask an obvious question, Tosfos asked the question. The reason why a person who kills someone else doesn't have to pay is because of the new halacha that we just learned. We just learned the new halacha, which is called Kimlei B'Drabimnei. And Kimlei B'Drabimnei teaches us, that you don't give two punishments, you only give the more severe punishment. So it's not that the person who kills someone else is not obligated to pay. He technically is obligated to pay. There's just a new halacha of Kimlei B'Drabimnei. So ask Tosfos, why are you saying that a person that kills someone is not Chayiv Mamon? So Tosfos answers that the halacha of Kimlei B'Drabimnei doesn't only apply by Mezid. What's the halacha, says Tosfos, if somebody kills somebody else B'Shogig? So he's not Chayiv Misa. You're not Chayiv Misa if you killed somebody B'Shogig. But still, Chayiv Misa Shogigin. If somebody does an Avera B'Shogig, which had he done that Avera B'Mezid, he would be we still apply the concept of Kimlei B'Drabimnei. And since we still apply the concept of Kimlei B'Drabimnei, we see that in that case he's not going to get Misa, but he still won't have to pay Kaifer. Reb Chaim Brisker has a very interesting approach to this. He says, when we speak about Kimlei B'Drabimnei, there are typically two examples in Shas of Kimlei B'Drabimnei. One is Misa Mamon, where somebody did something for which there's a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Mamon, the example that we're learning now, or Misa or Malkus, that he did an Aver for which there's Misa and also Malkus. And in both of these situations, the halacha is that you say Kimlei B'Drabimnei. So he says, Reb Chaim Brisker, that when we say Misa or Malkus, that's when we say that since Misa and Malkus are both physical punishments, so the Torah tells us with the halacha of Kimlei B'Drabimnei that the more severe punishment, the punishment of Misa, exempts you from the less severe punishment, the punishment of Malkus. But when we say Misa Mamon, they're very two different types of punishment. One is a physical punishment, killing the person who killed, and one is Mamon, obligating him to payment. There we can't say that the Misa covers the Mamon. How can we say the Misa covers Mamon when Misa and Mamon are very different types of punishment? There it's a new rule. It's a rule that even though you chayiv the Mamon, the Torah says you don't have to pay it. That's why it's very understandable when the Gemara says that Adam ain't a mishalom sekoifer. V'loiri Adam shekei chayiv arba devarim. A person, when he does damage, besides that he has to pay nezek, just like when an animal pays damage, he has to pay tzar, ripui, shevis, and boishis as well. Kari ashor, shein b'dval dvarim, ashor only has to pay nezek. What is the tzar ashovish behen? Shedark and lahazik. They commonly do damage. asked, that's what the Mishnah continued saying. Is that true? V'chi shor darka lahazik? Does an animal naturally do damage? Says the Gemara, we're talking about a mu'ud. Ask the Gemara, mu'ud darka lahazik? Just because an animal did damage 3 times doesn't mean that that is its habit? Answer the Gemara, absolutely. Kivin the yad, if it did damage 3 times, that's a proof that urchehu, that that is the habit of this animal. But now ask the Gemara, we're also saying that tzad shavish ben, is that the Adam is darka lahazik. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That Adam is darka lahazik? Is it the nature of a person, the habit of a person to do damage? B'yoshin. When he's sleeping, he doesn't know how to watch himself. Ask the Gemara, just because he's sleeping and he isn't aware and he can't properly watch himself, is yoshin darka lahazik? That means he does damage naturally, habitually? Says Gemara, yes. Kivin the kaifa poshut. A person, when he goes to sleep, he usually is going to stretch and roll, and he's going to do damage to what's next to him. That makes it urchihu. So now we're learning that if somebody goes to sleep, and while he's asleep, he rolls over something and damages it, he will be held responsible. But Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi. This that we say, says Tosfos, that if somebody's sleeping, he's going to be held responsible, that's only if somebody went to sleep on a bed, and on the bed there were glasses and plates that he should have known that since when he sleeps he's going to roll, he's going to do damage. But what happens, and it was even if a person, a child, is laying next to him, so he has to be concerned that he could, chas v'sholem, roll around while he's sleeping and cause damage. But what's going to be the halacha if he went to sleep, and he was careful not to go to, nothing should be near him. And after he went to sleep, somebody placed something next to him. Will be he chayiv or not? So Tosfos says, quoting the Shami, of course not. When I went to sleep, I was careful to go to sleep in a way, in a place that I shouldn't do damage. If somebody else brought it there, then he be chayiv. So why? Because he's an oinus. Because it was not something that I did in any way deliberately. Which opens up a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim. We know that the halacha says, Oynes Rachmana Patri, that if something happened, not with me doing it deliberately, I'm not chayiv. So the Rishonim debate, how does the halacha look at oynes? Does the halacha look at oynes that if I'm an oynes, it's not considered as if I did anything wrong? Or is it considered that even by oinus, it's considered that it's something I should have paid attention, but it's not as serious enough that it should be chayiv? From here it seems, from the way Tosfos is quoting the Yerushalmi, that an oinus should be considered that I'm exempt. What was I supposed to do that I went to sleep with nothing around me and then somebody put something next to me? And therefore, many Rishonim say that this Gemara is clearly a proof that an oinus is not considered as if I did an Aveira at all. But there are Rishonim that say that that's not necessarily the way to learn. It could well be that an oinus may not be enough of a mazik to be chayiv, but it's enough, it's still considered that I did something wrong. What's the case? Well, what's the issue over here? Here, I who went to sleep with nothing near me, and then somebody came and placed something near me, so I'm an oinus, but that's not what's exempting me. What's exempting me is the fact that there's a posheya here. Not me. I didn't do anything wrong. But the posheya here is the person who came along and put something next to me when I'm sleeping. And therefore, since he's a posheya, that's why I'm potter. But it's not that oinus alone makes me chayiv. So here we're learning this new concept of being chayiv or not being chayiv for something that you should have taken into consideration. So I saw the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah discusses the following situation. What happened was, somebody was sitting in a car. And next to where he was sitting were the driver's sunglasses. and the person, when he walked out of the car, accidentally pulled out, schlepped out with him the driver's sunglasses. And then after he left the car, the driver, and they fell on the floor. And then the driver drove off and he ran over the sunglasses. So we could see, so who at the end did the damage to the sunglasses? The person who owns those sunglasses was really the one who did the damage to the sunglasses. Will that person, so you can't have a claim to somebody who did damage to his own item. On the other hand, had I not schlepped out your sunglasses from the car, you wouldn't have run them over. So he paskins that the person who caused that the sunglasses should be taken out of the car will be chayiv. He says that, and he proves it from our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that if somebody goes to sleep and there's something next to him, he should have been aware, he should have been aware that since there's something next to him, he should pay attention not to go to sleep there or do whatever he needs to do to make sure not to damage what's next to him. Here too, and here too, when somebody is leaving a car, it's his obligation to make sure that anything that is in the car, he shouldn't accidentally push out. I, you'll say that he certainly did not deliberately take those sunglasses and pull them out of the car. So why should he be chayiv? So to this, the answer is a concept that we're also going to say often, and that is the halacha of Adam Mu'ud Lo'olam. The concept that a person is a shoygig in Hilchos Nezikim doesn't exist. There is a concept of Adam Mu'ud Lo'olam. But the Chashuk Yechemid takes this concept that Tosfos discusses here from the Yerushalmi and says that when I go to sleep and there's something near me, then I can't be exempt because I should know that something near me and I could do damage and I should take whatever precaution is necessary not to do damage. What happens if somebody goes to sleep in a sukkah that has a limited room and everybody is sleeping next to each other? So I sleep and somebody else comes to sleep next to me, something that I should have taken in consideration. Or he wasn't sleeping there when I lay down. So why should I be responsible if while I'm sleeping, I'm doing that damage? So the question that he's discussing is, do I have to pay attention that somebody's going to come here and I have to pay that attention and do whatever I have to do? Or when I went to sleep, there was no one there. So he says that I have to pay attention. If I know when I go to sleep that it's very likely, even though right now there's nobody there, but it's very possible that somebody will come there and he'll be sleeping right next to me and I have to be careful not to roll over him, then the halacha is I will be held responsible. I will be held responsible if I end up doing damage to him. The Mishnah continued to say v'shmirasan alecha. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Adam, to teach us shmirasan alecha, that's possible by something that I own. So I have an obligation to pay attention to what I own. Adam shmiras gufa alof, says the Gemara, tameh, chodetani, karna, arba avos nazikin v'aba adam mechmehem. Adam shmiras gufa alof, El Karamalei Rab Abla Tana, Tanei Adon Shmiras Gufa Olav. In other words, what the Gemara says, it's not Shmiras Gufon, Shmiras and Alecha. That is only possible to be said on something I own, not on myself. So it says we have to learn, like Kanda learned, that the Mishnah means Shmiras Gufa Olav, that I have to watch myself not to do damage. Hachanami, that's the way to understand our Mishnah, Tanei Adon Shmiras Gufa Olav. So ask the Gemara, Maskler Mary, Vema mavazeh mayim. We've till now had a machloikus. What does mava mean? Does mava mean Adam, like Rav says, or does mava mean shame, like Shmuel says? Ask the Gemara, maybe mava means mayim. And where do we see that the word mava is applicable to water? To the ksiv, as the pasuk says, kigdoich eish hamosim mayim tiva eish. So we see that the word tiva his own water, where the Torah says water extinguishes fire. It says the Mayim, geeks of Mayim Nivu. If it would have said Mayim Nivu, that means the water is what's causing something to happen. Tiva Eish Ksiv, it doesn't mean that it's actually doing something. And it just causes the water to bubble, to get hot. That's why it's not considered a pasuk for mazik. Maskler Zid, Mayim Mavaza Eish, the Kiks of Tiva Eish, Hudiksiv, the pasuk speaks about the word fire getting hot. Answers the Gemara, yes. If you'll say the Mava means fire, then we'll have a different question. Because the Mishnah mentioned hever, fire, as one of the Nazikin. So if that would be the case, Maya Mava Vahever, why would there be two separate Mazikin? Vichitema, and if you'll say that indeed, Mava and Hever don't represent two different Mazikim, but rather the way to understand it is Perusha Kamafarish. The Mishnah is explaining when it says Mava, the word Hever is here to explain that what is the definition of Mava? The definition of Mava is Hever, making fire. Says the Gemara, so if that would be the case, so our Mishnah only mentions three of us Nazikin. Ihochi, when the Masechta began with Arba of us Nazikin, Shlosha Hava, there's really only three. Vichitema, if you'll say Tana Shah, Shoresh by Shah Disbay Tarti, it means Shah because Shah has Shane and Regal. As says the Gemara, Ihochi, let's continue the Mishnah. When the Mishnah compares the Mazik of Mava and the Mazik of Heva, the Mishnah says, Loi Zevazah Shesh Ben Ruachayim. That both of them have a Ruachayim. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say the Mava and Heva, my Esh my Ruachayim is by, it's not a living thing. The Sumai Karei Esh, Shareim Bechayim. The Mishnah says a Mava is not like Esh. So we see that Mava and Esh are certainly not the same. So it either is the way Rav explained it, or it's the way Shmuel explained it. Taravosha. Our Mishnah, says the Gemara, taught us the four of us Nazikin. But Shmuel Ravosha in his Braisa actually says that there's Shloisha Asa of us Nazikin. There's 13 of us Nazikin. We know that the Torah speaks about different cases of Shomrim. There's a Shomer Chinam, where he's not getting paid to do the Shmirah, and he's Chayiv for Pshia, for negligence. There's a shoyl, somebody who borrows something that they're just the opposite. A shoyl is chayiv for everything, even for an oinus. Noisa socher is somebody who gets paid, that he's obligated for pshia, obviously, but he's also chayiv for geneva and aveda, of what he's watching get stolen or lost. Hasoicher is somebody who leases something that has his own dinim as far as Hilchus Shomrim. Then there are the Nezik, as we've learned. If you damage something, you have to pay for the loss of value. Tsar is that you have to pay for the pain that you caused. And the way we're going to learn, Rashi explains that if somebody has to, Rachmon Otzlon, have their hand amputated, they can have the hand amputated with a surgery, or they can have the hand amputated by taking some sort of a medicine that will cause Rachmon Otzlon, the hand, to fall off. Obviously, taking the medicine is less painful, but it's more expensive. That's called tsar. Ripu is the doctor bills. Shevis is the unemployment. And boishes is the embarrassment that this person has because of the damage that was done to him. So now we have nine, and we add Arba de Masnisen, the four of us Nazikin that were mentioned in the Mishnah, nine plus four equal 13. Ask the Gemara, Tanan Nidon, Mailoi Tamaloi Tanahani. So ask the Gemara, why did the Tan of our Mishnah not include these cases? Says Ma, Bishlam Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who said the Mava means Shein, so we could say that Niski Mama Kamari, Niski Gufaloi Kamari. Our Mishnah is limiting itself to cases where what I own, my property does damage, now I personally do damage. El Rav, that included Adam Amazik, so why all these other examples of Adam Amazik are not included? Listening, why ought they not to be mentioned? Says the Gemara, Rav is going to tell us, Tana Adam v'chamili da Adam. When the Mishnah said Adam HaMazik, according to Rav, with the words Mava, that includes all of these cases. Ask the Gemara on the other way around. So Rav Oishia, that has Adam, so Tana Le Adam. Adam is mentioned. Why do you have to break them all down? Answers the Gemara, because they're Treikam the Adam. There are two types of situations where the person does damage. Tana, the Brisa speaks about Adam, the Azik Adam, where a person does damage to another person. Vatana Adam, the Azik Shar. And there's a person that does damage to an animal. Says the Gemara, if the Brisa's goal is to differentiate with these two types of victims, so Yachi Shar Nami listed Tregav Nishar. So by Shar also, we should speak about the two different types of his victims. List the Shar, the Azik Shar. List the Shar, the Azik Adam. Says the Mar Haimai, why would we want to make that type of distinction? Bishlam Adam Dazik Shor, when a person damages an animal, Nezik Shalim, all he has to pay Nezik. Adam Dazik Adam, for the person does damage to another person, so he has to pay on top of that, Mishalim Arbidvarim, the Tsar Ripu Sheva Spoishes. El Shor, when a Shor does damage, Mali Shor Dazik Shor. Mali Shor Dazik Adam, it doesn't make a difference if he does damage to a Shor or he does damage to a person. In both cases, the obligation, the payment obligation, Idi V'Idi, Nezik Udim Shalom, is the same. You pay Nezik, says the Gemara. V'Shem Echina V'Shor Al Nesosach V'Asoicha, Dodim Da'azik Shoru. They're all cases that Adam does damage to money, V'Ktani, and Rav Oishia mentioned them separately. But why are they not included in the case of Mava, which, as Rav said, is Adam that was Mazik Mammon? Answers the Gemara, Tana Ezeka de Bidayim, the Tana Ezeka de Memela. Mava means that you did something to cause somebody damage. You actively hurt somebody. You actively damaged something. Then, the cases that are mentioned over here is something that happened without active. I just didn't watch something properly, and because I didn't watch myself properly, I caused damage. And that we need to have that distinction. And therefore, there's two categories of Adam, and since there are two categories of Adam, perhaps that's included when a person, as we said before, he was sleeping. So you can't call that I did a biyodayim, because I went to sleep, but I did do damage. And in fact, when we speak about a person who did damage while he was sleeping, that the question Ramosha discusses in the Shas Chuvas Igros Moshe Yerodeya Chela Gimel Simem Mem Dalid, what happens if somebody is under hypnosis? So he first of all discusses if somebody allowed to have hypnosis. And he says you have to be very careful, and a person... And the reason you have to be so careful is because what makes a person special is that the person has the ability to control himself. And when a person is under the influence of the hypnosis, he loses that control. That's one consideration. But then Ramosha continues to say, based on what we're learning in Al-Gemara, that let's say somebody is hypnotized. And while he's hypnotized, he does damage. Will he be chayiv or not? And it's the same as somebody goes to sleep. As Al-Gamar is teaching us, when somebody goes to sleep, he doesn't have a right to say, well, I was sleeping, I didn't know what he was doing. You're obligated to pay attention to where and what you are. Similarly, you can't say, well, I was under the influence of hypnosis. What you're supposed to say and supposed to know is that you're supposed to be in control. And if you're going to be under hypnosis influence, you're not going to be in the control. Then you shouldn't be hypnotized. Says the Gemara Tana Reb Chiya, Esrim v'arba avos nezikin. He says that they're 24. There's teshlumi chayfel. If somebody steals, when he pays back, he has to pay back double. Teshlumi arba chamisha. If somebody steals an ox or a sheep and he shechts it or sells it, he has to pay four or five times the value. Ganav, that if there are no Edim or Moed B'Knas, if the Ganef admits on his own that he stole, than in case he only pays Karen. A gazlan and a ganef are very different. A ganef is somebody who steals surreptitiously. He sneaks in. A gazlan is somebody who you don't see him sleeping. Adam Zomerman. So Adam Zomerman means that if two people come and say testimony about whatever event, and then two other people come and say, how could you have possibly have said testimony, Immanuel Yisem, that you said testimony, that you saw this event occur in this place at this time, Immanuel Yisem, on that place in that time, you were with us anywhere elsewhere in that time. And the halach is, as we often explain in Shas, Eidim Zomim is a chiddush. Why do we believe the second pair of Eidim more than the first pair? So the Eidim Zomim being punished is a type of hezek, oinus, if somebody violated a narab sula, that you have to pay chamishim kesef. Hamafata, if somebody seduced a narab sula, that the halach is you pay chamishim kesef, or v'loy si elisha, she becomes his wife. Maitzi shemra, somebody says that the girl he married, lo motz la psulim, that he has to pay v'anchoi se mei kesef. Hamatame truma, if there's truma, which we know that truma when it becomes tamei is usur to be eaten, the halach is that you're held, so that must be burnt. Nobody can eat it. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, actually, why couldn't it be talking about chulin? Because chulin, there's also a concept of chulin b'tahara and chulin b'tumma. So the Mefarshim say a simple answer. Chulin b'tumma, there are plenty customers for. So even though there may be people that are looking for chulin b'tahara, it's not difficult to find customers and get the right price for chulin that are tamei. But truma that's tamei, as we just said, no one could eat. So therefore, it drops in value. It could only be used for food, for fuel. Hamadame, somebody mixes together truma and chulin. So if somebody mixes together truma and chulin, it has to be treated like truma. And now the Yisrael will not be able to eat it. The only one that can eat it is the kohen. And since the only one that can eat it is the kohen, so supply and demand causes the price to drop. For menasech, if somebody used water for avodah zarah, some say that it can't be menasech that he poured it for avodah zarah, because pouring it for avodah zarah is considered worshiping avodah zarah, and you wouldn't be chayiv for doing so. So they explain menasech means that you mix kosher wine and non-kosher wine, v'hani t'leser, plus the 13 that we've learned. If we take these and those 13, we'll have together Esther of Arba, 24 Avos Nezikin. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yishu by Tamalei Tanahani, why didn't Rabbi Yishu include this list? Says the Mamaminah Kamairi, he only speaks about when there's a financial obligation, but as we said, many of the examples that we just learned are Knas, Kefil, Knas Loi Kamairi. Says the Gemara, good. Ganef, we said, but a Ganef that admits that he stole, so he doesn't pay Kefil. Or Gazlan never pays Kefilin. So I'm a minor listening. Why are they not mentioned? And says the Gemara, they are mentioned in Rabbi Yishu's list. Hatani lo Hashem echinav ha-shoyel. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Chiya Nami, Hatani lo Hashem echinav ha-shoyel. And you're saying that Hashem echinav ha-shoyel include Ganav and Gazlan. And you're saying Rabbi Yishu doesn't speak about a Knas. Answers the Gemara, Tani memayna dosel adei ba-teira, Tani memayna dosel adei ba-isura. Rabbi Chiya spoke about a Ganav and a Gazlan, and not included them in Shem Echinim, because a Shem Echinim, or the other cases, a Shomer, I mean, only got whatever he got legitimately. He was appointed as a Shomer. And therefore, afterwards, he became a Ganef. And the Ganef got it from the beginning. Eidim Zomerman asked the Gemara, Eidim Zomerman, the Mamano Lisni, answers the Gemara, Sovel HaKabakiva, he actually holds HaKabakiva, Dama Eim Shalma Piatzman, which means that if the Eidim Zomerman are smart, this is what the Rishonim explained the Gemara. They see that they were identified as Eidim Zomerman. What they should do is that they should run to another Bezdin and admit to their sin. Once they run to another Bezdin and admit to their sin, it's going to be a case of Moed B'Knas. And a Moed B'Knas,
you're not chayiv. So that's the machloikis, is Eidim Zoyim and Mammon or Knas. And if it's Knas, so we say Rabbi Yishai is not mentioning Knossos.